In Radio Theatre, we present Triptych by Gene Henderson.
Why? Don't we? Have a drop of sherry. Just to celebrate, like.
Nay, it's only 2 o'clock. You can't go drinking sherry at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. What are you thinking of?
It's a special occasion, of course I can. I've got some here. I think. Now, let's see. It must be somewhere. I used it for a trifle only last week.
I don't know if that's such a good idea. You know, you've got to be careful with that stuff. It can grab you just like that in the wink of an eye. You can become alcoholic overnight. You know, it happened to a woman I knew in Tunbridge. There were nothing wrong with her one day, and the next she were out on the street selling her clothes for a nip. Now, I shouldn't touch it if I were you.
I know I put it here with the spices and things. Here we are. Oh, no, that's the vinegar. Oh, there's a bit of brandy, if you prefer, from the Christmas pud. Should still be all right. Don't they say the longer you keep it, the better it is? Would you prefer that, then?
No, I don't.
Oh, here it is. And you add some. Ogston's pale brown sherry. The test is in the taste. Ooh, isn't that catchy now? I'll just get some glasses.
No, not for me, May, no. I think I'll just stick to the tea.
Oh, come on. Little sherry won't hurt you. Like I said, it's celebration time.
Well, just a drop, then. I need to look after me liver. Once that goes, you know, you might as well be dead.
Hey?
Yes, one of my uncles on my father's side died of liver.
Oh, terrible death he had.
He were as yellow as a buttercup. And when they took it out, well, after he died, of course, it were like a hard sponge and black as coal. Well, that's what the doctor said. Ooh, now, I wouldn't like that to happen to me.
Oh, never will it. Come on, then. We'll drink a toast. To me and me good fortune and to you. Because you're going to share it. There we are. Bottoms up.
Ooh, all right, then. Just a small one. Ooh, well, I must say, it's not bad. Well, it's quite nice, really. Yeah, what do you mean I'm going to share it?
Well, of course you are. Oh, yes, it is nice, isn't it? Of course you are. I made up my mind the minute I heard Peggy and me are going to share this, I said. We're going to forget our troubles and go on a lovely trip. Everything first class, and we're going to hobnob with the rich and see the world like we're in one of them TV soapies. We're going to live it up. That's what I said, live it up.
Well, I think that'd be very silly, May.
Why?
You should keep it for your old age. Huh? And, I mean, you never know. In 20 years' time, you could be lying in a sick bed, paralysed from the neck down, with nobody to see to you. And then what would you do then? Now, if you had the means, at least you could pay for a good nurse or something. No. I shouldn't waste it like that on holidays and things.
And what use will it be to me lying paralysed in a bed for heaven's sake? I want to enjoy it while I can.
Easy come, easy go. That's your trouble. You need to provide.
For what?
Well, for the future. You never know what it's going to bring.
I know what it's going to bring me. I've already been to Cook's. I've got all the brochures here. Beautiful they are. All in colour, showing you just where to go and what to look at. Look at this. I thought this is the one we'd take. You go to Paris first, and then Holland, and Germany, and Italy, and you travel in this lovely bus. Doesn't that look grand? Ever so posh.
Well, I don't know whether I'd like to go to Paris. I mean, they're funny people there.
Hey?
All foreigners, artists and things. And I believe the men there are, well, not what you'd call gentlemen by long chalk. You know, a friend of mine's niece went there last summer.
Aye.
Oh, terrible, she said. No less than 4 men came up to her in the street with Macintoshes on and stood in front of her and opened them up. And what do you think?
Hey.
They were stark naked underneath.
Ooh.
Now, can you believe that? Stark naked. She got such a terrible fright. In fact, it affected her so bad that when she came home, she said she didn't want anything to do with men ever again. She's going to go to a convent now and become a nun. And she's not even a Catholic. It's ruined her whole life.
Oh, you get people like that all over the world. It's not only Paris. Yeah,
well, I've never seen it happen in England. An Englishman knows how to behave.
Well, I'm sure it won't happen to us.
Well, there's always a first time, May.
Well, then at least we've been warned. And if you see a man approaching you in a Macintosh, you can always turn round and go the other way.
Yeah, but what if it were raining? You wouldn't know what he were up to until it were too late. Anyway, how will we get to Paris? Here, I'm not flying. These aeroplanes are falling out of the sky 20 a dozen these days.
We're going on the ferry.
And I'm not partial to the ferry. They go up in flames at the drop of a hat. I mean, you must have read about that.
We can go in the tunnel.
What tunnel?
The Channel Tunnel. It's finished now. You just get onto the train at Dover and ride straight under the sea to France. Before you know it, you're there.
train from here to France under the sea? You must be daft. I'd never do that.
Well, it's safer than the ferry, and it's safer than the plane.
How else do you want to get there?
Yes, and what happens if there's a crack in the tunnel and the sea starts coming through, rushing down on you like a flood? I mean, you'd be drowned where you sat in your seat. I don't want a carriage for a box, thank you very much. No, 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 May. No, it's very nice of you, and I don't want to sound ungrateful, but you'll not get me out of this house. Not for all the money in the world. I'm quite happy where I am, in England, where I belong.
Well, if you won't come with me, I'm going to ask Rita Sapley.
Ask Rita Sapley? Mm. You must need your mind read.
What's wrong with Rita Sapley?
Well, she's nearly 80.
Very sprightly, though. Full of fun.
Oh, it doesn't become you to be sprightly and full of fun when you're nearly 80, May. I always think she makes a spectacle of herself.
Oh, I don't know. She's very popular at the Sunshine Club.
Oh, aye. She likes to be popular with the men. At her age, I think it's disgusting.
Nonsense! Everybody likes her. Men or women. Makes no difference.
Did you see who she was at Bingo with last week?
Yes. With Dick Brenthurst. What of it?
Well, she came with him and left with him. And I saw him coming out of her front gate on Saturday evening. Been there all afternoon, if you ask me.
Well, they've been good friends for 30 years. Why shouldn't he be coming out of her front gate?
What, and is Dorothy only dead these past 6 months? Well, I think he could wait a decent time before he went courting again. Oh. Well, if you can call it courting, that is. I mean, what's he want to go about with a woman of that age for? I mean, he's only 65.
Dorothy and Dick and Rita were always good friends, you know that. And now that Dot's gone, he's lonely. It's only natural the two of them should do things together.
Anyway,
I'd rather you came with me. But if you don't want to, I'm going to ask her. I'm sure she'd jump at it.
I don't know how you think you're going to afford traipsing around the world and paying for someone else with the money you got from Ted. I mean, it were only £15,000.
It's more than I've ever had in my whole life. And I'm going to do just what he said in his will. Enjoy it, he said. And that's what I'm going to do. And if he was alive, he'd have enjoyed it just the same.
Yeah, well, that's different. He were a gambler.
Yes, he was. And sometimes he had it and sometimes he didn't. But when he had it, he spent it. And not always on himself either. He was very generous, was my brother, and now he's left it to me, and I'm going to get a little bit of pleasure for myself. He'd have wanted it like that.
Well, I just hope you're not making a mistake, May.
Well, mistake or not, I'm going. I've got to go to Cook's tomorrow and confirm the booking, and in 2 weeks' time I'll be on the continent. Either with you or with Rita. So you'd better make up your mind quickly. Have another drop.
Well, I must say it warms the cockles. Well, yes, if there's one to spare.
There we are. Cheers.
Oh, cheers. Yeah, you haven't asked her yet, have you?
No. I wanted to ask you first. Oh, come on, Peggy. It'll be grand, I tell you. You never know. You might meet a millionaire.
Oh, what would I want with a millionaire? What would I want with a man, even? Oh, I've never had one, and I certainly don't want one that's 60. I'm quite happy with myself as company in my own little house. I mean, from what I've seen, men can only bring trouble. I mean, look at Nancy Fraser. Only 40 and 3 husbands and all of them bad.
But they're not all the same. You get good ones as well, you know. My Clem was good. Ever so good. Couldn't have asked for a better.
Oh, yes, well, he were different. I mean, he were a parson's son. You know, you'd expect him to be better than the rest. If he were alive today, well, I don't know if he'd let you go traipsing around with foreigners.
If he were alive today, he'd be coming with me. Now. You coming along or not?
Yes, well, what about clothes? I mean, I haven't got things to wear on a posh trip like
that.
All
you need is a couple of pairs of slacks and tops and maybe a fancy dress or two for when we go to a show or something. You know, mix and match. We'll only be gone 10 days.
Slacks? Trousers, you mean?
Aye.
Here, you won't catch me in them.
Oh, come on.
There's only one kind of woman that wears them, and I'm not it. Look at Fanny Briggs. I mean, nearly 50 if she's a day, and parading around in them tight johns.
Jeans.
And her high heels like she was 17. You know, I told her one day, I said, Fanny, I said, you ought to be careful walking about like that. You might give the men the wrong idea. And you know what she said? She said, I might give them the right idea. Now, can you believe it? A grown woman, a grandmother. Oh, the world's not what it used to be. That's all I know. Anyway, I expect there'd be nice folk, though, on a trip like this, wouldn't there? I mean, they'd have to have a bit of money, so they'd have to be nice. You know, well-bred and decent like.
Of course. Of course. And it's nice to get out of the village and meet some other faces. Travel broadens the mind, you know. Can't sit in the same place all your life.
Paris, you say? And Holland and Italy?
Aye, and Germany.
Well, I'll not go to Germany.
Why?
No, I wouldn't be wanting to rub shoulders with them Jerrys, not after what they did to us during the war.
But that were over 40 years ago. For heaven's sake, Peggy, you've got to forget and forgive.
Aye, well...
They say it's a beautiful country, and there's a whole day you go up the Rhine in a boat.
What's the Rhine, and... then?
It's this big river. You know, like the Thames, only bigger.
Mm, that's what they say.
And lovely mountains and scenery, and all them magnificent old castles.
Oh, prisons, more likely. Oh. Probably still got some of our boys in there, if you ask me. Yeah, there's just some people you can't trust. I mean, look at Dick Brenthurst.
Now, what's wrong with him? Apart from him seeing Rita, which you don't approve of.
Well, you know what he did to Dorothy years back. Now, you haven't forgotten that, have you? The whole village was talking.
Oh, that were a lot of idle gossip. There was nought ever in it. Him having an affair with a 21-year-old, I ask you. Who ever believed that? Besides, she were related.
She were Dorothy's niece. Never related to him at all. Nearly caused a divorce. Don't know how it didn't. Oh, I don't know how Dorothy ever put up with it, really. I know what I'd have done. I'd have kicked him out there and then. But no, she laughs the whole thing off like it didn't happen. Well, more fool her. I told her so at the time. That's why I'm so surprised he's doffing his cap to Rita. I mean, you'd think he'd go for somebody younger. Now he's free and he's got the chance. But at least I expected him to go for someone with money. I mean, what's Rita got?
She's a nice woman. Why do you always have to be down on everyone and everything so? I've told you this before, and because you're my friend, I'll tell you again. With love. You should take yourself in hand. Have a proper good look in the mirror before you go about criticising others. That's why I thought a trip away would do you good. Get to know other people. See how nice they can be. If you was like this when you was young, no wonder you never married.
I never married because I never cared to. Not that I didn't have the chance, I'd plenty. Quite often someone came along and took me off the shelf for a dusting.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. You can be so nice. If you want.
Well, if folks are nice, I'm nice. That's the way it is. I live me life, and I expect others to live theirs. What they do is their own business.
Well, I never heard the like. You can sit there and say that, and yet you're always on about somebody. Oh, that's a laugh, Peggy. That's good enough for punch.
Here, are you quarrelling
with
me?
No, I'm not, and I don't want to. But you do make me so cross.
Oh, well, if that's how you feel, I'd better go, then. I've got things to do anyway. It's time to feed the cat.
What about the holiday, then? Are you coming or not?
Well, I don't know yet. I have to think about it. Especially now, as you're picking on me.
I'm not picking on you. We've all got faults, you know, Peggy. I'm just trying to point yours out to you. That's what friends are for.
I've got no more faults than anybody else.
Well, there's grateful for you.
On second thoughts, if you're really going to ask Rita, I think I will come. She'd never stop talking about it if she thought you'd chosen her instead of me.
Good. I knew you'd come round.
Yes, but I'm not going in the tunnel.
We'll go on the ferry, then.
Well, it's better than two evils, I expect.
Ooh, you'll love it.
Yeah, well, I hope you're right. More like I'll be as sick as a dog and not enjoy 1 minute.
You make it sound like you're doing me a favour.
Well, as you said, we are friends. And what are friends for?
I know, Helen. I know exactly. Like a drink?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think so. Thank you. Oh, that's not going to help, is it?
Yes, I think it will. It'll help you to relax.
Oh. It can't get any worse, can it?
I don't know, darling. Drink it slowly. It's strong.
Thank you. Oh, oh, it is strong.
More soda?
No. I think I need it like this. Robert.
Yes?
How are we going to get through the next months? Years, maybe.
Well, they say it gets easier. That's what they say.
Do you believe that?
It's too soon to know. Other people seem to get over it.
Oh, it's like a nightmare. I feel so unreal. I can't even cry.
It's better if you can.
Just this heaviness. This lump somewhere. Somewhere inside. So deep down, I can't even figure out where it is. 3 years old. Oh, my. Only 3 years old.
I know.
And Mum was only 55. That's young, too, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, 55 isn't old. But at least she lived. She had lived.
She never wanted for anything.
No, she didn't. Robert. It is true, isn't it? We have lost him. Oh, don't take any notice. That was a stupid thing to say. I shall never forget the day of the accident.
Helen...
No, don't stop me. I want to. I want to talk about him. So grown up. So excited. Going to the ice show with Gran. Going to see the caters. That's what he called them. Caters. Yeah. Skaters, I'd say to him. Skaters, Jeremy. But he couldn't get it. Couldn't get his tongue round that. But he spoke so well, didn't he? For a little boy of three.
Yes. Bright little chap. Helen, don't you think we should get away for a while?
How do you mean?
Well, get away. Take some leave. A few weeks. A trip or something. Away from the flat. Oh. From London. Just get away.
Oh, Robert, there's too much to do.
Like what?
Like... I have to sort through things. There's Mother's house and papers and clothes, all kinds of things.
Oh, they can wait. You should get away now. It'll do us both good.
No, I wouldn't like to come back to all that.
Okay, so let's do that now, then. As soon as possible, and then go. New places, new faces. I'm sure it'll help.
We can't run away, Robert.
Well, it's not a matter of running away, darling. It's a matter of... finding our equilibrium.
Where on earth would you want to go? Where in the world would it be any different?
I don't know, Scotland or down south? I don't know. Paris, Italy, anywhere.
And do you think that would close the door on all that's happened?
No, of course not, but... give us some time to... well, to come to terms, to get used to...
Robert!
Used to being without.
What are you saying? I'll never get used to being without... without either of them. Never.
Helen.
Never. Oh, God, Robert. Oh, God.
Well, here we are, love. Dover. Oh, isn't it a gorgeous day? The sea looks like glass.
Look, over there.
There's the ferry waiting for us. Oh, doesn't it look nice? Sitting there all gleaming white and the flags flying. Oh, I always think there's something so exciting about flags flying. Don't you think so, Peggy?
Where did I put it? Oh, goodness me, where on earth did I put it?
But what are you on about? What, you turned your bag upside down all over the seat for? We're just about to get off.
I'm looking for my passport. I'm sure I put it in.
Well, of course you put it in. We checked before we left home.
Well, it's not here, mate.
It must be.
It's not, I tell you. I've left it in the house on top of the stove. I remember now.
I saw it myself. It's in your handbag before we left.
Couldn't have.
Well, I did. It went in your bag next to your purse and your dark glasses.
I know, but I took all the stuff out again when I was looking for me keys.
Peggy.
Well,
where now? Well, it must be here somewhere.
There goes
I don't believe you left it.
See, I've turned everything out.
I can see that. Like you amongst all this jumble on the seat. Come on, I'll help you. I'll help you put it all back. You'll find your passport. It's here somewhere. What are these?
Them's me false tippets.
You've got your teeth in your mouth.
Me spare ones.
Oh, what do you want, spare teeth?
Well, you know, you've got to be careful going to a foreign country. You never know what these people will steal from you.
And these?
Knickers, what do they look like?
Why do you keep them in your handbag?
What if I lose me luggage? I can't go round without a change of knickers for 2 weeks.
There it is, see. Between the pages of Woman's Realm. Must have slipped in when you put it in your bag.
Oh, well, thank heavens for that.
Right. Now, let's go. Got your suitcase?
Yes.
Another step. They're always dangerous, these high steps on trains.
Yes, I know. Read about a woman the other day. Fell between the train and the platform. The train was still moving. Crushed to death she was like a grape. But do you think they'll do anything about it? Not a hope. They'd rather see the whole of England lying crushed to a pulp on the railway lines. It's disgusting, you know. It's about time we had a new government,
well,
you know.
Come on, hurry up.
You all right, darling?
Mm.
Sure you don't want to go inside?
Oh, no. It's lovely on deck.
As soon as we cast off, I'll get us a drink.
Oh, that will be nice.
Well, I'm glad to see you so calm. Mm. I'm not a very good sailor.
I remember. Last time we crossed, both you and... well, last time we crossed... well, this is going to be a good crossing.
Yes.
I've been thinking, you know, Robert.
About?
I'm glad I let you persuade me. I think it is a good idea, getting away. Maybe even make new friends.
I'm sure we will. You're still very upset about finding those papers?
Oh, no, not really upset. Still curious, though, and, well, You know, I can't understand why she never told us.
Well, she must have had her reasons, I suppose.
I suppose. It just seems so strange.
Ah, I think we're casting off. Oh. Should we go to the rail and wave to the white person?
Oh, yes, let's.
All
right.
Bye, bye.
Oh, Peggy, we're going to have the time of our lives. I can feel it in the water.
May, how deep is this here sea?
What do you mean?
Well, just look down there. Looks ever so deep to me. Miles and miles, I should think.
Well, of course it's deep. The sea has to be.
Well, look, we don't end up down there feeding the fish.
Now, why on earth should we?
Well, it can happen, you know. It's been known to happen before.
How can you think of that at a time like this? Mm. Oh, come along. Let's go to the saloon. Get a nice long drink. A shandy will go down well. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, I'm so sorry. I stepped right back on your foot. Oh, I am sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
Oh, dear. I do hope I haven't done you a damage.
Oh, no, 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 please. It's quite all right. It's just with, well, you know, the open sandals.
And I'm no lightweight. Oh, it can be painful, that, can't it? Your toe's quite red. Can I buy you a drink? To make up that.
We were just about to go and get one ourselves. Let me stand you.
Oh, no, no. No, I couldn't let you do that. I owe you, your wife, is it?
Yes.
Ah, well, let's all go along, then. Come on, Peggy.
Oh, you two ladies together? I'm sorry, I didn't realise.
Oh, yes. This is my friend Peggy.
How do you
and
do?
I'm May.
Oh, hello. How do you do?
Nice
hello.
To meet you. This is my wife Helen and Robert.
Oh, that makes it more friendly, doesn't it?
Yes.
Oh, is it feeling better now?
Oh, yes. Oh, there's nothing to worry about.
Oh, it's an unusual way to meet, isn't it? Treading on someone's toes. And as I said to Peggy, it's a once-in-a-lifetime chance, I said, and I'm going to take it. Of course, it was sad, losing me brother like that, but, well, that's life, isn't it?
Of course.
Well, I hope you have a very pleasant holiday.
Oh, we intend to. Don't we, Peggy?
Aye, but the best laid plans are mice and men, you know.
Eh?
Anything can happen, you've got to be aware of that.
Oh. Oh, you get used to Peggy, if you're going to be with us for 10 days. And don't let her worry you. She can be quite cheerful, really, if the mood's on her.
Here, thank you not to speak of me as if I weren't here. I'm just cautious, that's all. Yeah. Always believe in being cautious.
I'm ever so glad that you're both coming on the tour.
Yes, and I expect there'll be some Americans, too. There's always Americans. Shouldn't think I'll get on very well with them.
Hey,
ooh, they're so loud, aren't they? Full of themselves. You know, my mother used to say...
Well, Peggy, what's the matter?
No, I was just going to...
Is something wrong?
No. The strangest thing, just the way you look, Ben, you suddenly reminded me of someone.
Who?
Oh, just someone. Someone I once knew.
They say we all have a double somewhere.
So strange. Just as I remember her. Oh, well, that's brought back memories. Something I haven't thought about for a long time.
Oh, Peggy, look! Look who's just come into the saloon.
Who?
It, there, look, over there, just sitting at that table by the door.
Well, of all the... Oh, no. Oh, no, I don't think I can take this, no. Oh, you don't think they're on the tour, do you?
Could be. Oh, but won't that be nice if they are?
Well, you might think so, but I'm not travelling with that Rita Sapley and Dick Brenthurst, that's for sure.
Well, here we are, then. Oops, oh, I'm sorry. Did I spill it
on
you?
No, just a little on the table. Nothing my tissue can't mend. There. Well, cheers to a lovely
cheers.
Trip.
That's real good. That is. I can't believe it, can you?
No, it's all been so quick. Imagine Mary offering us her tickets at the last minute like that. It was so good of her.
Well, she couldn't use them herself and she'd have lost quite a bit if she'd cancelled. Jolly decent of her, I agree. I feel sorry for Alf.
Well, lucky it was only appendicitis. It could have been worse. Won't May and Peggy be surprised when they find we're on the same trip?
We should have told them, you know.
Well, it was all so sudden. Besides, I didn't really want to. Thought we'd surprise them. I've been looking out for them, but it's so crowded. Perhaps they're still on deck.
They're not, you know. There they are, there.
Where?
There. Just behind that pillar there. I can see Peggy waving her hands about, talking 20 to the dozen, as usual. I've never known anyone before can talk without breathing in between. I used to tell her, She must have the lungs of an opera singer.
Oh, she can go on, can't she? I said to May when I heard she'd asked her on the trip, "Are you sure you're going to be able to put up with her?" I said, "It's not that I've anything against her. She's a nice enough woman. But such a Job's comforter. Has she always been like that?"
"No, no, she were full of fun, lass, she were. I tell you, I remember when I first met her. She were only 13. A real good looker, too."
"Oh, she's still quite attractive. She could make so much more of herself, though. I've often wanted to tell her, but I don't think she'd take kindly to that."
"No, I don't think she would. It's a pity. I recall us as youngsters. She were very popular in Trimble, especially with the lads."
"Really?"
"Aye, lots of admirers."
"Well, I don't remember her like that. But of course, Ralph and I only settled in Trimble in the 60s. She must have been, about late 20s then."
"Aye, 30, in fact."
"I wonder why she never married. I've never had the cheek, or perhaps I should say the courage, to ask."
"Well, she could have. She would have been quite a catch in the old days. I thought about it once."
"Thought about what? Marrying her?"
Aye. But not a word, mind you. Oh. I've never told anyone, and I'm trusting you to keep it to yourself. I don't know what came over me saying it like that."
"Fancy. Oh, of course I won't breathe a word. You know me. Oh, no, look. They've seen us. May's waving. Oh, doesn't she look surprised? Oh, it's going to be lovely, the four of us together."
"Aye, grand, isn't it? It's good of you to ask me to come with you, Rita. I really appreciate it."
"Well, who else would I ask, for heaven's sake? We've been friends for so long, we're like family. I couldn't have wished for a better companion."
"To us, then."
"To us."
"I love you in that dress. Understatement. I love you in any dress. Or in any undress, for that matter. Here, let me help you with that chair."
"Oh, no, it's quite all right, thank you. I can manage."
"Oh, come on, you're struggling."
"I can manage, Robert."
"Oh. Oh, we're back to that then, are we?"
"We're not back to anything. I simply said I could manage."
"Why don't you just say it outright, huh? You've said it before. For the last 3 weeks, don't touch me. God, you make it sound like... Do you know what it does to me when you carry on like that?"
"Oh, please, Robert, I'm sorry, but... please don't. Don't go on about it. Just give me a little time."
"It's been 3 weeks."
"I know, darling, but I need time. I'm not ready for... well, I'm not... oh, Robert, I'm not capable. I don't want that kind of thing. Not now, not yet."
"What kind of thing? All I want to do is help you with your locket."
"There, I've managed it now."
"You just can't let life stop, you know, Helen."
"But it has stopped. Don't you understand that? It has stopped."
"Only because you're allowing it to."
"I'm not allowing it to. One doesn't allow life to do anything. It does what it damn well wants. Unbidden, unsolicited, unwanted. It takes you and flings you around like a whirlwind. And when it's good and ready, drops you from a dizzy height into the mire and watches you struggle for solid ground, which isn't even there."
"But Helen..."
"Well, I'm tired of swimming, Robert. I'm tired of threshing about in it. I want to close my eyes and sink to the bottom. Oh, for the oblivion. I'd give anything for the oblivion."
"There are other things to think about, Helen."
"Oh, like what?"
"Like us. Like you and me. Like this holiday. Like living from day to day. Like carrying on with our lives."
"Oh, what lives? What's left?"
"I'm left, damn it, me, your husband." "Ever since... for the last 3 weeks, you've treated me as though I wasn't here. I want to help you, Helen, but you're shutting me out. I feel like an intruder, like a stranger in your company. We don't talk..."
"You don't want me to talk. Every time I mention Jeremy, you're..."
"I just think you dwell on it too much. You keep opening the wound."
"I need to. Don't you understand that? Why do people always think that when there's a death, they must steer clear of mentioning it? Tippy-toeing around, avoiding the issue, does not make it any better."
"Well, it does for me."
"Well, not for me. You want to suppress it, you go ahead. But allow me my way. My way of trying to get over it."
"You won't get over anything by suddenly reverting to an abnormal daily life."
"What's that supposed to mean? Because I don't want to sleep with you, is that abnormal?"
"Well, what would you call it, then?"
"Oh, good heavens, Robert. What's normal and abnormal? This isn't a normal time. Can't you feel that? It is not a normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill emotion to be grieving for a three-year-old child.
All right, I know
it's
that,
it's not normal to have your heart torn out of you because some bloody drunk got behind the wheel of his car and killed two people.
Helen.
It is not normal to be 25 years old and have your life and your hopes and your dreams mangled in a mess of steel on a summer afternoon.
I know that.
And it's not something that's going to be wiped away by spending a few hectic moments between the sheets. Not for me, anyway. I don't even know how you can think of it at a time like this.
You make it sound so disgusting.
It is disgusting. If that's all you think you need to deaden the pain, then find yourself a woman who'll cooperate. There's plenty of them in Paris.
I don't believe you said that.
Believe it. And what's more, I meant it.
Do you really think that I
could... I'm frightened to think what I really think.
You must know that I wouldn't
dream... I don't know anything anymore, Robert. No, that's not true. I know one thing. I know I don't want to go on with this trip. I want to go home.
You said on the ferry you were glad I persuaded you.
I was wrong. We should never have come.
That coach
journey from Calais was... Oh, I thought I'd go insane. That guide and the chattering and the laughing and the oohing and aahing.
But Helen, it was...
Oh, it was like a nightmare. And that Amy or May and Priscilla... And...
Peggy. May and Peggy.
Oh, whatever. On and on and on about all the terrible things that could happen and that have happened and that will happen. She doesn't like this or that or the next thing. She's a magnet for disaster, it seems. And they're going to stick to us like glue. I just know it. Please, let's pull out, Robert.
Oh, come on, Helen.
Let's cancel and go back tomorrow, please.
You'll feel better after a good dinner, I promise.
The thought makes you want to vomit.
Well, a good glass of wine, then, and, well, perhaps a stroll through the Montmartre, beside the Seine, watching the artists, under a Paris moon, pavement cafes, you know, the...
You sound like a bloody travel brochure. You haven't grasped the reality, Robert. You're living in a cocoon of fantasy. That is not the real world out there.
But it is, you know. That's exactly what it is. What's going on out there? That is the real world. And the sooner you step back into it, the better you're going to be.
They say you have to eat a bag of salt, don't they?
Meaning?
I don't think I really knew you before.
I'm also trying to cope, Helen. And this is the only way I know how. Maybe it's the wrong way, I don't know, but it's my way. So, when you're ready, I think we should go down to dinner.
I'm ready.
Oh, well, that was quite a meal.
Yes,
I must say, I didn't really think I'd like this fancy French food.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed that.
Oh,
I've eaten too much, though. Let me loosen me belt.
Oh, I have too. But it was wonderful. And the best thing is, we don't have to wash up. No. Oh, I could live this kind of life forever. Why couldn't I have been born rich instead of beautiful? Of course, it can't be so much of a treat for Helen here. She were born both, weren't you, Luke?
Well, not so much of the rich. All the beautiful for that.
Oh, come on. Now, if I had a face like that, and you a figure, I'd be too proud to call the Queen me uncle.
Auntie.
What?
Auntie.
Eh?
To call the Queen your auntie. Oh, the King your uncle. You've got your sexes slightly confused.
Oh, did I say uncle? Oh, it's the wine and them green drinks. They've gone straight to me head.
I thought you were knocking them back quite a bit.
Oh, that's rude, Nick.
No, it's not. Me won't take Cumbridge.
No.
Now, if I said that to Peggy, and she weren't doing too badly either,
hey,
I tell
good
you.
Good heavens, I've forgotten about her. Well, hasn't she been a long time in the loo? Oh, dear. I better go and see if she's all right.
She looked a little pale when she went. Yeah. I thought, shall I come with you?
No, it's all right. You sit here.
Oh, let me go, please. Hey? I was just about to head for there anyway.
Would you? Oh, Tarlo.
Oh, just excuse me a moment. I shan't be a minute.
Oh. She really is a lovely girl, Robert. Mm. You must be very proud.
Yes, she is. And I am, yes.
Hmm. Have you been married long, then?
Just over 4 years.
Oh.
4 years, and you haven't heard the patter of little feet yet, I presume? Or have you left the family at home?
We've just come away for a break, the two of us.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's nice. A sort of second honeymoon.
Well, just a break. Can I top up your glass?
Oh, no, not for me, thanks. You'll have me doing the fandango on the table if I have any more.
Rita?
Oh, no, I've done very well, thank you.
If you're finding it hard to give away, lad, I won't say no. Very good, this French wine. Mm. I'm not usually partial to wine, but this is very good indeed.
I've a whiskey myself.
Now, there's a drink I can't abide.
Really?
Even the smell catches me in the stomach.
The Scots are funny people, you know, drinking something that smells like dirty fireplaces and eating sheep's stomachs stuffed with oatmeal. Barbaric. <really. laughs> But don't tell Peggy I said that. Her father were a Scot, you know. Oh, yeah. Very dour and very loyal to the Red Lion, old Cromerthin. Peggy's a little like him in a lot of ways, you know, especially since she's got older.
That's a most unusual name. How do you spell it?
Cromerthin. Cromerthan. Ah, it is unusual. I've never heard it before, in fact.
Peggy, is that a real name?
Ooh, as far as I know, I've always called her Peggy.
Why? No reason, really. I just wondered.
Her name's Margaret, actually. Oh, so Peggy for short. They mostly do that. True. I always think it's such a shame to shorten a name, I mean. Yeah, when I had kids, I made up my mind to give them names that couldn't be shortened. I mean, what's the point in thinking up a pretty name if you're going to go through life being called someone else?
Yeah, I've always wanted to call my son Canute.
You did.
I did. After the king, you know, with Elder Seaback. I thought it had a nice ring to it. Dorothy said I were daft and she wouldn't have it. We used to fight like cat and dog about it. And all to no purpose, as it turned out, because there weren't any sons anyway. Oh, no daughters, neither. Sometimes I think I missed out.
Oh, I always said that were a shame, that you and Dorothy couldn't have children. You'd have made such a wonderful father, Dick. I always said that. Ah, here they come now.
Yes.
We were getting worried about you. You all right, Peggy?
Oh, nothing a little fresh air won't mend. Oh, goodness me, I think I had too many of them drinks. You should have stopped me, May.
Oh, I didn't have the heart. You enjoying yourself so. It were a real pleasure to be in your company.
Are you implying I'm only nice when I'm drunk?
Oh, you're not drunk, lass, just happy.
Well, I must say, it's been a lovely evening. But if you'll excuse me, I'll just go out on the terrace and get a bit of breeze in me face.
No, I'll come with you, lass.
No, that's not necessary, no. I'm quite steady on me feet.
Oh, no, let him go with you, Peggy.
Oh, are you sure you don't mind, then?
Sure. Take him with my compliments.
Oh. Gee, I'm not sure I like to be passed around like this. Makes me feel like the last biscuit
on
the
plate. Go on, you're loving every minute.
I can't deny that. Come along, Peggy. Oh,
Hey, it's amazing what a bit of wine can do, isn't it?
I misjudged her completely, you know. I feel quite guilty about it. She was very sweet to me just now.
Oh, she can be. But I've seen her like this before. Not often, mind you. But once or twice. I think her whole trouble is she's got a chip on her shoulder.
How do you mean?
Oh, it's just a guess. But I think maybe something might have happened once that made her, well, you know, grouchy. She's never said anything, but it's just an impression I've got over the years of knowing her.
Well, Dick was telling me earlier on that he quite fancied her once.
Oh, no.
Well, really? He said maybe something happened there.
Oh, wouldn't that be interesting? I always got the impression she didn't like him.
Oh, would you excuse us? I do feel rather tired. Robert, could...
Yes, of course. I could do with a bit of an early night myself. So we'll see you tomorrow then, will we?
Yes, in the morning. Good night, dears. Sleep tight. Pleasant dreams.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Good night, then.
Good night. I expect we'd better pack it in, too. Oh, it has been a lovely day, hasn't it?
Yes.
I'll just nip out and tell Peggy we're going up.
Oh, no, leave them. They'll come up when they're ready.
Oh, you're right. She might think I'm checking up on her. Fancy Dick saying what he said about having his eye on her. Just proves what I said earlier in the lounge.
Oh, what was that?
Well, I said we all had a skeleton rattling somewhere in our cupboard. Well, she denied she had. But it just goes to show you, doesn't it?
Yes.
Maybe I was right.
Isn't that a sight now?
Aye.
All them lights on the river and shining like that on the tower. Looks like Christmas, don't it?
That's the Eiffel.
Well, I know that. What do you take me for? I did go to school, you know.
Oh, don't I know. Made me life a misery, you did. Thought you were ever so grand just because you were in a higher class.
Well, I had to be in an higher class. I were older. I'd have been a real thick plank if I'd been in the same class as you at my age.
Yes, and then when you left to go out to work and I was still a schoolgirl, ooh, you really thought you were grand then.
And so did you, as I recall. You like going out with a working man, over and above all your friends who are going with schoolboys.
Yes, yes, I have to admit it. The young can be so silly, can't they?
We weren't silly. We were quite intelligent youngsters.
Were we?
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I don't know what you're thinking. And I don't really want to think what I'm thinking. I don't know what's got into me tonight. I've been thinking quite a bit about the past. Things have just popped into my head. I just don't know what's got into me.
Into mine, too. It's because we've been together all day. You know, on the ferry and the coach and all. Do you know, this is the first time in 30 years that we've actually spent a whole day in one another's company. Don't that seem strange to you?
No.
You've avoided me for 30 years. That seems bloody strange to me. Seeing as we've lived in the same village, well, off and on.
Yes, off and on.
Why did you leave Trimble, Peggy?
Oh, you know why I left. I went to work in Preston.
Yes, well, your mother told us all that. That's where you'd gone, to stay with an aunt.
Well, that's what I say. You know why I left then.
Was that the only reason? To go and work in Preston?
Oh, why should there be another?
Well, you left so sudden-like. One day you were there and the next you were gone, overnight. I wondered about it at the time.
What did you wonder?
Well, I wondered if it had something to do with me.
You always were conceited, Dick Brenthurst. Why on earth should I leave me home in Trimble because of you? You weren't that important to me.
I used to think I was.
Well, it just shows how wrong you can be, doesn't it?
You were important to me, you know.
Oh, yes, weren't I just? I remember how important I was to you.
I thought I made that pretty clear.
How? By... Oh. Look, come on, let's go in. I don't want to talk. Not about that. Not about anything that happened. It's water under the bridge now.
No, wait. Don't go yet.
There's nothing to say, Dick. The whole thing's too silly.
I've never been able to get an answer to my questions.
Well, you've never asked me any.
You never gave me a chance. Your mother wouldn't give me your address in Preston. I couldn't write to you. And when you came back, you treated me like my postman. A good morning if we happened to bump into one another. And that was it. You made it obvious that you didn't want anything to do with me. And I couldn't understand it. I mean, after all... Well, we had been quite close, after all.
Oh, is that what you call it, then? Quite close? You call it a tumbling A, quite close, do you?
I never thought of it like that. It were more than that to me.
Oh, it were it? And I suppose that's why you never mentioned it again. Not once... After, did you ever mention it?
Neither did you.
Well, it weren't up to me. It's not something girls talk about. Well, maybe they do these days. Times have changed, but not then. Not in the 60s. And I was brought up strict, you know. Nice girls didn't. I was ashamed.
You weren't a girl. You were 29 years old. Most women are married by then.
Aye, but I wasn't.
I were going to ask you then, you know. I'd made up my mind. That very night, walking home, I'd made up my mind. I were going to ask you the next day.
Ah.
It's true. I knew then that that's what I wanted. You.
And what made you change your mind then?
I didn't change my mind. You changed my mind. You avoided me. From that day on, you avoided me. If you think back, you'll remember how you were. When I came to the house, you wouldn't let me in.
Oh.
You wouldn't see me. You wouldn't talk to me. I sent you flowers. You sent them back. I wrote you notes. You sent them back unopened. What was I supposed to do? And then a few months later, you disappeared. Just like that. And when you did come back...
Yes, then when I did come back, you were married to Dorothy.
Aye. What did you do in Preston then, those 2 years?
Worked.
Doing what?
Well, if you must know, I went into service.
You mean as a housekeeper? That kind of thing?
Yes, that kind of thing.
Well, what made you come back to Trimble then? Weren't you happy there?
Well, when my mother died, it seemed the most sensible thing to do. She leaving me the house and all, and... No, I wasn't really happy there. Well, circumstances. Well, it were all circumstances. Now, come on, it's time to turn in.
Peggy, you know, now that we've had this talk and... Well, got together again, do you think we could... Well, take up the reins again. Be good friends, you know. I like that.
No, Dick, that's too silly. Don't even say it. It's too silly for words. And I don't want to talk about it any more. Besides, I know how you feel about Rita. Although, heaven knows, she's a bit long in the tooth now for that sort of thing.
Good grief, Peggy. Now that's silly, if ever I heard it. I love Rita, of course I do. We're bloody good friends, and we'll be until we drop. But it's not like you think at all. Now with you...
We've both had too much to drink, Dick. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. I don't know about you, but I'm going in. Oh, I've left my purse in the dining room. Oh, party seems to have broken up. Oh, thank heaven, there's me purse, look.
What's this, then?
What?
Somebody's dropped this necklace. Is it yours?
What? No, that's not... Here, where did you find that?
Here, on the table. Little gold heart on a chain. Looks like a child's. I'd better just...
Let me see. Oh, my goodness.
What's the matter? Eh? What are you doing?
I'm opening it.
Why?
I can't believe it. It can't be.
What's the matter, Peggy?
No, nothing. It's nothing. I must go up and see Helen.
What for? It's almost midnight.
No, I think this belongs to her.
Well, how would you know that?
No,
now?
Good night, Dick.
You can't go visiting this time of the night.
Good night, Dick.
Oh, it's you, Peggy. Well, we were just talking about you. Isn't that a coincidence, darling? It's Peggy.
I'm sorry to worry you so late. I thought you might be in bed, but I'm glad to see you're not.
No, we were just talking over a nightcap.
Oh, well, I'm really sorry to disturb you, but I'd like to speak to Helen for a minute, if it's not too much trouble. I would have waited for tomorrow, but it's rather important.
No, that's all right. Do come in, please. Oh,
come in,
thanks. Thanks.
Is something wrong?
No, nothing wrong. I just wanted to give this back to you.
Oh, my locket! Oh, good heavens, I didn't even miss it. Thank you. Gosh. But how did you know it was mine?
Robert, would you think it a terrible cheek if I had a word with Helen in private?
In private? No. No, of course not. I'll take a stroll on the terrace.
I'd be very obliged, and... Well, it's not that... You know, it's just that I'd like a word with her.
Yes, of course. It's not a problem. Give us a cigarette there, darling.
There you go.
Thanks.
Your lighter, darling. Catch.
Thank you. Yes, I'll go and get some fresh air.
There. Do sit down, Peggy.
Oh, thanks.
Can I offer you a drink at all?
Oh, no. I've had more than enough. I hope Robert doesn't think I'm mad.
Oh, no. But how did you know it was mine?
Well, it's, I don't quite know how to go about this.
Yes.
And I'm probably being... Oh, it all seems so unreal. But if you can bear with a silly old woman...
Oh, I'm so glad you came, Peggy. You see, Robert and I have just been talking about you.
Oh.
You've rather intrigued us.
Have I?
Well, it's your name, really. Cromathan. Very unusual.
How did you know that? I didn't think we were introduced by surname, were we? At least I don't remember hearing yours.
Wallace.
Oh.
And no, we weren't. If we had been, I'd have remembered yours.
Well, how did you know mine, then?
Well, Dick mentioned it at the table, while you and I were in the cloakroom.
Oh.
Robert was struck by it because, well, it is so unusual. And it just happens that not more than 3 weeks ago, we came across that name.
Oh, where?
Perhaps you should tell me what you came here to tell me. You did come to tell me something, didn't you?
Yes. This locket. I know it belongs to you because...
Yes.
Because it used to belong to me.
A long time ago.
Yes. I didn't notice you wearing it at dinner, but even if I had... Well, it's not the only one of its kind, so I wouldn't really have thought anything, you know.
Mm.
It were only when I opened it and saw the curl of hair.
Ah, yes.
It was only then that I was sure it were yours. Not the hair, I mean, the locket.
Mm.
Because the hair, you see, belongs to me.
Go on.
I was just nearly 30 when I put it in there, but... look, all this might be nothing. I have to ask you a question before I go on.
Mm.
Where did you get it? I mean, can you remember?
Well, it's... It's been in the family for years.
No, what I mean is, you didn't buy it from a, well, you know, from a second-hand shop or a flea market or anything
no,
like
no,
that.
No, 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 not at all. No, do go on with your story, please.
Well, you were given it when you were a child, by your nanny.
Well, it wasn't actually a...
You lived in Preston. You were born there, weren't you?
Yes. When I was 10, we moved to Stratford.
Do you remember your nanny?
Oh, no, I don't.
No,
I was only about...
No, of course you don't. You was only 3 months old when she left you. I had to go, you see. I should never have even stayed as long as I did. I thought at the time it'd be all right, and at least I'd be able to... Well, you know, to be with you and bring you up. And even though you was legally adopted by the Reeds, that was your maiden name, weren't it? Reeds.
Yes, yes.
Oh, such a nice young couple they were. They couldn't have any children of their own, the doctor said, and when they heard I was single and all, and... Well, we become so fond of one another. We talked about it, and that's what we did. We agreed they'd adopt you and give you a good home and a name. Oh, but I didn't realise how hard it'd be, watching you grow up, playing with you, doing for you, and yet,
yeah.
yet knowing, yeah. knowing you, that you didn't belong to me. You know, I couldn't really take that. I really couldn't. So I left. But before I did, I gave you this.
Yes.
Just so you'd have a little part of me. Even if you never knew, you know, just a little part of me for the rest of your life.
What about the father, Peggy?
No, I never told him. He never knew. I never told anyone, not even me mother. I broke her heart. I thought I was doing right at the time, but I realised afterwards it was wicked of me. And when I found out I was pregnant, I just left home late one night, sneaked out like a thief. Just left a letter telling her I wanted to get away and live my own life. I kept in touch from time to time, you know, through the post, and I never gave her an address or anything, just to tell her I was all right. Mm. Well, 2 years after I left, I saw a notice in the paper from a law firm saying I'd inherited the house. So I went back. I've been there ever since.
Peggy,
you know, I can't really believe this has happened. I can't. It just seems like a dream. But you're... Oh, I mean, all the pieces fit, don't they? Your maiden name, living in Preston and the locket, I mean,
yes.
It all fits.
Oh, yes, it fits all right. I don't think there's any question about it. And then there's your name.
Oh, yes, you were saying you heard it a few weeks back.
Well, I was saying we came across it in some papers. That belonged to my mother, yeah. Well... She died a few weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Going through her things, I discovered adoption papers. The biological mother's name was Cromathan. Margaret Cromathan.
Oh, Helen. Do you think we could mean something to one another after all these years?
Oh, Peggy, of course we could.
They never told you then that you were a...
Well, no, no.
Do you know, the strangest thing is that you've grown up to look like her. I've heard of that happening, but I didn't really believe it could. But you have. You remember I said you reminded me of someone?
Yes, I do remember,
well,
yes.
It's just struck me, though. Your name. Your name shouldn't be Helen, you know.
Why not?
Well, both Mr. and Mrs. Reed said they were going to call the baby after me. Oh, well, I expect they changed their minds. Anyway, Helen's so much prettier, isn't it?
Oh, please don't cry, Peggy, please. No, oh, Peggy.
No, it's only because I'm so happy after all these years, you know. Wondering and thinking.
Yes.
It just didn't seem possible. And then there's something else that worries me.
What's that?
I'm not exactly your class.
Oh.
Not anymore, no. You've had... Well, more than I could ever have given you.
Oh, nonsense. We're perfectly ordinary people. And all those opportunities I had as a child, you did give me. Remember that. I don't think you'll ever know just how much I have to thank you for. Then and now.
It's an incredible story.
Mm.
If you weren't telling me, I wouldn't believe it.
I know. But there's one thing I haven't told you.
Oh, what's that?
I never told her that the doctors were wrong.
Huh?
That my mother did give birth. I never told her that I had an older sister who died when she was 15. A sister I only recently discovered was adopted. And I never told her. Her name was Margaret.
That was Triptych by Jean Henderson. Peggy was played by Maureen Adair, May by Jill Fenson, Robert by Roger Service, Helen by Miranda Moss, Dick by Cecil Northcote, and Rita by Paddy McHugh. Technical production was by Gavin Mayring and Ian Kinnear. Triptych was directed for Radio Theatre by Don Ridgway.